All right, welcome to the situation update for Wednesday, March 15th. It's the Ides of March, and Rhody has a message for you on the Ides of March. How are you doing today, Rhody? You doing all right? You doing okay? What do you want to say? What do you want to say about the banks? You want to say something about the banks? Silicon Valley Bank? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, those clowns, those total clowns, those woke clowns lost everybody's money. You got it. That's right, good boy. Welcome to the podcast, the broadcast. We got a lot to cover here today, actually, come to think of it. Crazy times, of course. I've got bombshell interviews coming up for you. The rest of the week, let's see, we have Gregory Mannarino joining us, not today, but later. And then we've got David Morgan is going to be coming on. We've got Peter Schiff coming on as well. We've got a new financial backdrop behind us here. I hope that doesn't make anybody too dizzy. Yeah, is that keep rolling, but can you slow that down a little bit? I don't know, somebody might get nauseated. They feel like they're falling off a grid or something. Slow that down a little bit for people. In the meantime, from the Financial Times, Ken Griffin, the founder of Citadel. Yeah, this is no joke. Ken Griffin says, quote, U.S. capitalism is breaking down before our eyes. And he's talking about how the bailout of Silicon Valley Bank is a horrible mistake, and it's teaching banks to act in a reckless manner. Of course it is. That's all by design. And from this point forward, there will be no bank that apparently needs to operate with any kind of sense or competency. Instead, like Signature Bank out of New York, they're going to film videos of themselves singing and dancing in kind of clown world demonstrations of woke virtue signaling instead of actually protecting customers' deposits. So we've entered the world of financial idiocracy, and it's only going to get insane from here. In fact, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, at this point, I'm convinced, just looking at the aftermath of this triple bank collapse from last week, I'm convinced the entire banking system will collapse. The dollar will collapse. The U.S. government will collapse. It's only now a matter of time. There is no one in any position of authority or power who is willing to hold anyone responsible for bad decision-making. It's going to be bailout after bailout after bailout, and there's a limit to that. It ends, and it ends in total collapse. So no one is accountable, you know, because that would be triggering to people, right? That would be triggering. Oh, that would be harsh. That would be mean to tell people they made bad decisions. No, you have to make sure that everybody's happy, that everybody's told everything's great, even when it's not. Well, Moody's, now this is from CNBC, Moody's cuts outlook on U.S. banking system to negative, citing, get this, rapidly deteriorating operating environment. Ooh, that's another phrase, a euphemism for collapse, it turns out. Yeah, that's a collapse happening. And Moody's, which, by the way, Moody's is a ratings agency that has, I would say, in my opinion, for a long time, Moody's has been full of bunk, but they tried to get honest about Silicon Valley Bank, and they threatened to downgrade the rating for Silicon Valley Bank. That is what pushed SVB to try to sell a bunch of bonds at a loss and then raise some capital. Word got out about that, and that's when, well, the bank run began, because SVB was insolvent. Moody's is actually the ratings agency that tried to be honest about SVB, or at least a little bit honest. And think about that. The minute that you say, like from Moody's point of view, the minute that you say a bank is not A++, A-OK, everything's awesome, the whole thing collapses. That's exactly what happened. Just Moody's threatening to say, oh, we're gonna downrate you, you know, half a grade here or something. The whole thing collapsed. So think about what that means for the entire banking system, which is why Moody's is saying we have a rapidly deteriorating operating environment. You know what that means? It means the entire banking system is effectively insolvent. And it is. It's all insolvent. It's all coming down, folks. Interbank liquidity has fallen off a cliff. The banks don't trust each other. And the bad debt, or let's say even the bad assets held by these banks, are losing value each and every day while the Federal Reserve keeps promising to raise rates through the summer. They're going to raise in March. They're going to raise in May and June and July. I don't know what happens in April, but they're going to keep raising until they break the system. They're going to break the entire system. And the American people are going to wake up one day and find that, well, all their bank accounts are now bail-ins. Yeah, your bank is on holiday, special holiday, except you lost everything. And what are they going to bail you out with? Oh, more money printing to cause more inflation? So even if you get your money, it won't be worth what it was? Mm-hmm. That's coming. All right. Breitbart is reporting, next bank to fail, shares in Credit Suisse fall to all-time low after bank admits, quote, material weakness. You know what this means? That the bank is trying, the bank is headed for collapse. Credit Suisse is headed for collapse, but it's trying to avoid shareholder lawsuits by being able to say, well, we told you we were about to collapse, right? So they're admitting material weakness. That's what this is. This is a cover story for the coming lawsuits. Because Credit Suisse has been operated as, I don't know, some kind of a nightmare clown show fiscal scenario for a long time. It's been a clown show, and it's going under. And they know the lawsuits are coming, and they're just trying to cover themselves right now. So get ready for that. Everybody I know is getting everything that they can into hard assets right now. Lots of different ways to do that. Land, you know, gold or silver. I talked about that yesterday. I showed you some coin here on the desk. That's gone today, but had it here yesterday. Some people are buying crypto. In fact, crypto has gone up almost like 20 or 25% since this whole thing began, at least Bitcoin. So people are jumping out of dollars and out of banks, more importantly, into almost anything else. They're like, hey, let's just buy garden seeds. Let's buy ammunition. Let's buy, you know, more land, more buildings, what have you. Let's just buy more food, you know. People are getting into everything other than dollars, and they're getting out of the banks, which I never called for that. I said, folks, get out of the woke banks and into the more independent banks that are run in a more fiscally conservative manner. But then again, now, looking at the total collapse that's coming, I guess I have to say, you know, have a plan to be completely out at some point, because I don't think the banks are going to be here. And if you want some real stuff, by the way, our seed sponsor is arkseedkits.com. That's A-R-K, arkseedkits.com. And that stands for Agricultural Resource Kit. And here's their website, I'm showing it for you here. They have a prepper special, buy four, get one free. That's quite a deal for multiple families to have tens of thousands of seeds, 250,000 in this case. They've got lower price items as well, arkseedkits.com. And then if you want some storable food, I know this sounds really simple, but look, we have certified organic lab-tested milk powder, just plain old milk powder, you know, because some people like to drink milk, which is fine, and they want it to be clean, lab-tested, which we've done. So we test it for glyphosate, we test it for E. coli, bacteria, heavy metals, all that stuff, salmonella, the whole deal. And, you know, we're adding dioxin testing in the next few months as well, but we've got this right now, healthrangerstore.com, in number 10 cans for long-term storage. And, of course, we have all kinds of other number 10 cans. We've got blueberries and mangoes and kale and all kinds of food, fruits and vegetables, certified organic, lab-tested. Support us at healthrangerstore.com. I mean, hey, as long as you're looking for places to put dollars that's going to hold value, or maybe just to buy things that you're going to use later in the year. I mean, it's not a bad idea to go out and, you know, plan, what am I going to need this year? I'm going to have to buy, you know, so much rice and so much food, or I don't know, boxes of tissue or pairs of shoes or socks or whatever, or you know, motor oil for your car or your tractor. Just get out there and pre-purchase that stuff, because you're going to use it, and your dollar is worth more now than it's ever going to be again, because the dollars are headed for inevitable collapse. No question that that's happening. We just don't know when, but we know the dollar is going to lose value each and every day, especially when they keep printing money to bail out these failed banks. And frankly, much of the banking system is underwater right now at this point. All right. Let's go to Russia news. Here we go from the UK Daily Mail. Russia will use a Poseidon underwater missile to wipe Britain off the map with a 1,000-foot high radioactive tsunami. If that doesn't sound fun, if NATO puts troops, NATO troops put boots on the ground in Ukraine, says Putin's propagandists. Well, you know, look, I want to say that Russia has this weapon system. We've talked about it for years. It is called a Poseidon. It's an underwater, kind of a little submarine nuclear-tipped drone, an underwater unmanned vehicle, you could say. And to my knowledge, these have already been deployed. And there are already 100 megaton warheads that are parked off the east coast and the west coast of the United States, already burrowed into the continental shelf. And they're just waiting for satellite signals to detonate. So in the same way, and there's some also off the coast of the United Kingdom, well, the coast of Britain in this case for this story. So at the same time that the United States planted explosives on the Nord Stream pipelines, which has a pretty thick concrete encasement of the actual pipeline. I think the concrete is something like 5 or 6 inches thick surrounding the pipeline. Well, the U.S. with Navy divers went down there and planted explosives on those pipelines during the Baltic operations. What was it called? Balt Ops 22. That was the, you know, the secret operation last year, or the drills that they use as the cover story. They planted the explosives, and then a few months later, they remotely detonated them. Well, they used, reportedly, according to Cy Hirsch, they used a sonar buoy that was dropped by the Legion of Norwegian Air Force, and they blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Well, Russia has 100 megaton warheads parked off the East Coast and the West Coast and off the coast of Britain, and they can detonate these in much the same way, unleashing, again, a 1,000-foot high radioactive tsunami that would inundate the entire East Coast as well as the West Coast and all of London and much of the UK and also many surrounding areas. This would end Western civilization. And Russia has this weapon. And we've even seen satellite images of the submarine, the massive Russian submarine that deploys these weapons. In fact, multiple Poseidon underwater missiles can be carried by each of these Russian submarines. I think it was like 6 of these or something. Forgot the exact number. But they've already deployed this. So if NATO goes to war with Russia, which seems to be where Biden is pushing things, the question is not just will the banking system collapse, but will we even have an East Coast? Will the East Coast of the United States even be, habitable for the next 3 to 5 centuries? There's the question for you. And since we are being led by an election-stealing, vote-rigging, incompetent, demented, woke moron, or really a festival clown show of woke morons in the State Department and in Washington, D.C., they either are, one, so evil that they want this to happen, or two, they're so incompetent that they may cause it to happen, you know, by being their usual arrogant, ignorant selves and provoking Russia into a counterattack of some kind, you know, doing things like bombing Russian military bases and basically saying, what are you going to do about it? And then one day Putin says, oh, well, Poseidon, that's what we're going to do about it. So if you live on the East Coast or the West Coast or, frankly, anywhere in the Western world, just understand that your life is being put at risk by these government idiots, these woke idiots who are throwing us into World War III. Now, antiwar.com has an article that actually cites the Washington Post. Here it is, antiwar.com, by Dave DeCamp. And the Washington Post is actually running a story. This is huge. This is a major change for the Washington Post, saying that Ukraine is running out of men and munitions. And here's the headline. Ukrainian official says Kiev doesn't have the resources for a counteroffensive. Actually, what that story says is, again, they don't have the men. They've run out of men, and they've run out of munitions to launch a counteroffensive. So everybody out there that keeps trying to push Ukraine, attack Crimea, take back Crimea, you know, suck it to them, you know. It turns out that Ukraine has run out of men and munitions. They actually can't do that. They're just barely hanging on right now to Bakhmut or you know, other areas. The front lines now of the East Donbass region are huge. And I don't know what Russia is waiting for, but Russia keeps adding troops and munitions and artillery and armored vehicles. And it seems like Russia is poised to make a move at some point that Ukraine would be hard pressed to stop, since they don't have enough munitions. They've burned through everything that the West can produce. And this leads me to the realization of something I've warned about for a long time here, at least 6 months, that Western societies do not have the industrial base or the infrastructure anymore to manufacture enough weapons of war to even fight Russia or anybody else at this point, to fight China, even to fight, I don't know, the Taliban, it seems like, in Afghanistan. The US, the UK, all the Western European countries, even Germany, can't manufacture enough munitions anymore. That's gone. That infrastructure does not exist. And thanks to the US bombing the Nord Stream pipelines and blowing up the energy infrastructure to Germany, well, Germany's industry doesn't have the energy to manufacture weapons of war, munitions, tanks, artillery, drones, you name it. They don't have it. Gee, you know, with friends like the US, Germany doesn't need enemies, right? But they have enemies. They have, they've got Russia, and I think Germany may very well flip. I think that day is coming where Germany probably says, enough of this NATO madness. The United States bombed our infrastructure. The United States carried out an act of terrorism against us, Germany. And NATO's pointless, helpless, currency's collapsing. You know, the woke policies are destroying the whole country, or the continent. And we would like to buy energy from Russia. I think that's where Germany is going to go. Because if Germany doesn't buy energy from Russia, Germany will collapse as a civilization. There will be no Germany. That's where this is headed. You know, you either have energy or you don't have a nation, you don't have a society, you collapse. I guess it would collapse into like a 19th century agrarian type of society at a fraction of its current population. But to get from here to there would be an absolute nightmare of human suffering and destitution, death, violence, collapse, chaos, you name it. You know, gee, thanks, U.S. Navy, for delivering that hell to Germany. Okay, I want to remind you to check out censored.news for near real-time breaking headlines. I post these myself, and then just in the mornings and then in the evenings at censored.news. And then if you scroll down, you'll get to the automated headlines from 45-plus censored websites. I'll just kind of scroll through some of them here. The National Pulse, New American, WorldNet Daily, Zero Hedge, All News Pipeline, SGT Report, End of the American Dream, Information Liberation, even Strategic Culture here, Strange Sounds, Summit.news, We Are Change with Luke Rudowski, and so much more. All these headlines all in one place on censored.news. And there's only one ad on the entire site, no pop-ups, no videos that play. Only one ad for my free ebook, well, audiobook called Survival Nutrition. That's the only ad on the site. And I'd also like to mention, here it is, resilientprepping.com. If you want to download my most recent book on prepping that teaches you how to survive in a high-tech, a low-tech, and a no-tech environment, it's called Resilient Prepping. It's free. You can download the MP3 files, resilientprepping.com, and you can enjoy a weekend of Health Ranger commentary. And here's a nice quote from Seth Holthouse, who really loved the book, by the way. And he has a show, maninamerica.com. Great guy. And he said, Resilient Prepping is one of the best and most comprehensive books on prepping that I've come across. And it goes on. You can read that at resilientprepping.com. Okay, then we have this story on naturalnews.com. Stablecoin USDC bursts through dollar peg as its cryptocurrency at risk of losing billions in SVB collapse. I want to just comment about this. The USDC stablecoin has recovered somewhat. Stablecoins are, of course, supposed to be tied to the dollar on a one-to-one basis. I've had John Perez on. He's issued warnings about Tether, probably the largest stablecoin. Well, it is the largest. This banking collapse, what's actually happening is that it's kind of reverberating from the crypto space, i.e. Three Arrows Capital and then FTX, into the conventional banking space, i.e. Silvergate and Signature Bank, and then, you know, SVB. And then that kind of bounced back to crypto with USDC. And they're so intertwined now, I think there's going to be a lot of kind of ricochet effects back and forth between traditional banking and crypto. But in the end of all of this, I trust crypto more than I trust the banking system. And I'm not telling you to go out and, you know, bet the farm on crypto or to buy crypto as a speculator to think it's going to go up and a zillion times you're going to make a fortune. I'm just saying have options of different ways to move money around that's outside the banking system. See, crypto is, I mean, yes, it was a massive tulip mania bubble, no question about that. But crypto is very difficult for regulators to seize. It's difficult. Even when they say they're going to seize it, they often can't. So even when the Canadian government says, oh, we're going to seize these wallets, and then they try to seize them and they can't. And that's what happened. Crypto, especially certain types of crypto, like the privacy coins, like Monero and so on, they are very resilient against censorship. Governments can segment crypto. They can ban certain wallets or certain exchanges within their jurisdiction, but they typically can't ban it outside their jurisdiction. They can't stop it globally. And since people can use VPNs, they can change their IP address to another country, right? And just go ahead and continue to transact in crypto. So crypto is hard to stop. It's very portable. It's internationally mobile, and it doesn't go through the SWIFT system. You know how Russia got cut off from SWIFT? The SWIFT system is basically economic totalitarianism run by the West. And thank goodness the crypto system doesn't use SWIFT. It uses obviously its own peer-to-peer decentralized cryptography-powered system. So I would say in this time, when bank failures are accelerating, and every day that we wake up, we don't know, is this the last day that this bank's going to be functional? Who knows? I would say it's smart to have something in crypto. It's just have a wallet that's portable, have an emergency fund in crypto. And again, you know, I'm not big into crypto. I'm not a crypto speculator. I hardly own any crypto. I'm just saying you better diversify your assets, and crypto has a role to play. It's that simple. It truly has a role to play. Now, could it crash in value? Yeah, absolutely. But it could also go up. So, you know, don't bet the farm, but have a crypto option in case you need to be an economic refugee out of some collapsed city or a collapsed country, which could include the United States someday. You need to have a backup plan. And crypto is part of a backup plan. But frankly, so are garden seeds, like our ARK seed kits that we have over there. You can barter seeds. You can barter food. You could barter powdered milk. You could barter gold and silver, like I showed here on the show yesterday. You could barter ammunition. You know, I don't have any ammo except what I'm wearing, but you could barter ammunition. You could barter firearms. But crypto can be used for all those things. And it can be sent, you know, over distance very easily, unlike gold and silver, which has to be shipped. I'm a big believer in gold and silver as your main protective asset. I believe in having some cash as well, some physical green cash. I believe in having the things I've talked about, you know, garden seeds and ammunition and all that, but also having a little bit of crypto. I will probably slightly increase my position in crypto just for this very reason and convert some bank assets into crypto assets. I will probably do that. Even though, again, I don't believe in that crypto is going to solve the world, but I do know banking is going to collapse. So there you go. What are your choices at this point? The banking system is going to collapse. We're all going to lose a lot of money when that day comes. So just try to minimize your losses, minimize your exposure to that broken system, because it is now abundantly clear that the people in charge are not going to return to any kind of reason, rationality, fiscal common sense. No, they are going to woke-tard their way into oblivion is where this is going. It's going to be a clown show parade of virtue signaling until the total collapse. And then they're going to wonder what happened, and they'll probably blame Trump. You know, that's pretty much where this is going. All right, so that's the studio segment for today. We have an interesting interview coming up for you later on. I'll do another report outside the studio to cover more of the breaking news that's happening. So this continues here, the Situation Update broadcast from the Brighteon.com studios in Texas. I'm Mike Adams. Thanks for watching. This continues straight ahead. I must be getting blackpilled today, because every time I assess the situation, my assessment is worse than the conclusion I'd previously come to. It's unbelievable. I'm going to tell you about a new study that was just published that talks about the $2 trillion shortfall in the accounts of banks. The U.S. banking sector is a ticking time bomb that's going to freaking explode or implode, I suppose you could say. And it's going to be absolutely catastrophic. I mean, we're talking about probably a total collapse of the sector, a total collapse of the U.S. banking system. Now, I've got interviews coming up with three bombshell people coming up. Gregory Mannarino, Gerald Celente, and Peter Schiff, although Peter Schiff hasn't yet confirmed the day, but we are working on that confirmation. All right. Gregory Mannarino, Gerald Celente, and Peter Schiff. And I've already interviewed, as you know, Andy Scheckman. If you missed that, you definitely want to check that. Now, what Andy told me is that we're looking at a combination of hyperinflation meets the Great Depression, because the Fed is obviously going to keep printing money until we have hyperinflation, which means that the value of the dollars that people hold will essentially go to zero. But Andy Scheckman isn't the only one who thinks this. And I suspect we're going to hear very similar analysis from Mannarino. We know Gerald Celente. We know what he thinks of the system, that the system's going to crater. We know what Peter Schiff thinks, because he's been telling us for year after year after year, while, of course, the mainstream media mocked him and said, no, you're crazy, there's no way that's going to happen, and now it all happens. Suddenly, they want him back on the media again. That's interesting. But, of course, Peter Schiff has been right this entire time, and I think he's going to say much the same thing. The bottom line is, this system is broken. But when I say blackpilled, I don't know if you've heard that term, probably have. Red-pilled means getting informed, awakening to the reality of what's happening. Black-pilled means awakening to the reality of the impending doom. That's what black-pilled means. And I've come to the conclusion just today, because yesterday, you know, well, let me just ease into this so that you can swallow the black pill gradually. But yesterday, I came to the conclusion that the banking system is toast. It's going to end. Actually, I think I've known that for a long time. In fact, I did a documentary years ago. I'm going to probably resurface that I think talks about this exact thing. But today, I came to the realization that civilization will break, that humanity can't continue. Because, at least not as currently structured, not the masses, not the system of greed, the system of power, the system of war, the whole system that you know, that we know, will crater. Doesn't mean every last human being is going to die. There will be survivors. It'll be a tiny percentage of the total population that we see right now. But human civilization as we know it will end. I'm sure of that now. And to be specific, what I mean is there won't be a United States of America. There won't be a Federal Reserve. There won't be a banking system, at least not this banking system. There won't be a global just-in-time supply chain logistics system that makes products affordably and cheap and efficiently. No, those days are rapidly coming to an end. Life is going to get very difficult
for the survivors. We are looking at not quite an extinction level event, but let's say a civilization extinction event, or more accurately, a series of events, a cascade of failures and incompetence and stupidity and virtue signaling and wokeism, which is all part of this. And it's not just the Western countries, it's pretty much all of modern civilization, run by incompetent fools and morons, and evil people, and greed-driven people. And everywhere I look in society, I don't see any system of merit where competent people are rising to the top. No, because that's not allowed under wokeism and the culture wars. The most competent people have to be suppressed. The most insanely stupid people have to rise to the top under the woke system. You know, as long as they check the right check boxes, which is how white people now have found a new kind of loophole. That loophole for whites is the transgenderism loophole. You know, just by saying, let's say a white male says suddenly, oh, I'm a woman, they can go from the bottom of the hierarchy, i.e. a white male, to the very tippy top, which is a transgender woman. Oh, now you're at the top of the hierarchy. Now you get to command everybody else, including women, black people, Jews. You get to command everybody if you're a transgender at the top of the pyramid. You see what I'm saying? Like, no one can top you in the social justice hierarchy. You're the tippy top. And so that's what people are doing. And because of this insane cult, the LGBT woke cult that has spread across every corporation, every government, every institution, at least in the West, the cult has spread, the cult of worshiping people because of their adherence to this cult, then those people get chosen to run everything instead of the most competent person. And this is how we end up with a transportation secretary named Pete Buttigieg, who is gay, but totally incompetent. Because, no, let me be clear, they could have found a gay competent person. There are plenty of gay people who are perfectly competent, right? So don't misinterpret this. I'm not saying in any way that gay people can't be very good or have the merit of having a higher position. Absolutely they can, and lesbians, and even trans people. See, to me, none of this matters as much as can you do the job? Can you do the job? Pick the most qualified person, regardless of whether their skin is dark or light or tan or brown or whatever. Pick the most competent person, regardless of their sexual orientation. Instead, we get, who's this White House spokesperson? What? I don't even recall her name. Just an absolute idiot. We get the luggage thief trans person that has since left the Biden administration, running around stealing people's luggage in order to score fashion dresses for his cross-dressing habit. Like, that's who was in charge of the nuclear waste program in America. And there are 1,000 more examples like this, where the most insane cultish people are chosen because they're obedient to the cult, rather than whether they can actually do the job. And this is society going insane. Utterly insane. And if we don't correct this, and I don't think it will be corrected, then the society that we know will be run into the ground, and it will collapse, and it will vanish for all of history. It will be gone. Human civilization as we know it will die from the cult of stupidity, the cult of obedience. I don't know what you want to call it. So woke that you died. Like, everybody died because the wokeness took over the world and just killed off the systems that kept people alive. You know, energy, food, right? Reason, rationality, merit, free market systems. I mean, the free market is dead as of Sunday. You know that, right? There's no more free market functioning in America. They just print money to buy the stocks. That's why the stock market went up yesterday. They print money to bail out the banks. while the banks, you know, party on with their woke parties and, you know, insane, just insane adherence to wokeism. In fact, I don't even know if I should play this. I'm not going to play it for you. It's a waste of time. But there's a video of this woke Signature Bank in New York. This total clown show video where they're singing and dancing, and they filmed a musical of the employees in the employees of the bank to try to pretend like we're so cool, we're so awesome. And it's like, but you lost everybody's money. Why didn't you focus on maybe being bankers instead of being wokesters? And that's all they did, was just, they spend all their time being woke. It's like a scene out of The Office. You know, but I mean, the clown show aspect of it. Like, nobody's actually getting any work done. And you know, hey, speaking of The Office, Steve Carell, wasn't he one of the stars of The Office? Yeah. He's also, of course, the lead in the movie The Big Short. And this is a time to watch The Big Short. Yet again, it's one of my favorite movies. Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary. Watch The Big Short carefully, and you will find parallels to what's happening in today's society that are shocking. And then you'll realize, oh my God, now it's 10 times worse than what it was in The Big Short. Because that was talking about the 2008 subprime mortgage collapse situation. And remember, in 2008, there wasn't anything woke. I mean, yeah, there was greed, and there was insanity, and there was stupidity, and there was fraud in the banking system, and the big banks, you know, tried to stiff everybody. There was all kinds of deception and just malfeasance galore in 2008. But now, in 2023, you got to throw into that, oh, cross-dressing transgender luggage thief, you know, Lesbian Awareness Day. Virtue signaling corporate employees making a music video, spending millions of dollars while they ignore risk assessment tasks for the bank. That's 2023. Way worse than anything in 2008. Way worse. The collapse that has already begun now in 2023, it's going to make 2008, you know, look like a picnic. And the thing is, and this is where the black pill comes in, the thing is, I can't find any example of any government, any institution, or any large corporation that is run in a competent way. I can't find one example. Now, I can find small businesses that are competent. I can find maybe some small local governments that do tend to function. I can find some states that function. I'm talking about federal governments, you know, the government of the United States, the occupying artificial government. I'm talking about the globalist corporations, the universities, academia, Hollywood, you know, food industry, finance industry, all of it. I can't find a single example of the leaders of these institutions running things in a way that is sustainable or competent or rooted in reason. They've all lost their damn minds. And because they've all lost their damn minds, oh, also, of course, in medicine and science and biology and agriculture, all of it, they've lost their damn minds. There is no salvaging this system. The world has literally gone insane. The people have gone insane. This is the craziest Jim Jones Kool-Aid drinking cult that our planet has ever seen. It's the trans cult, or I don't know, the woke cult, maybe that's more encompassing, more inclusive. It's the woke cult, and it destroys everything that it touches. It's actually just kind of a rebranded Marxism, if you think about it. It's Marxism just twisted into a rainbow flag, basically. It's you have to obey, you have to make this your priority at your corporation, or at your government, or your institution, or academia. You have to focus everything on obedience to the woke cult at the expense of everything else you're supposed to do. So universities are supposed to be providing education. Oh, forget education. You have to prioritize wokeness. You know, corporations are supposed to offer products or services and earn a profit. Oh, forget that. It's all about wokeism now. Forget about the products and services. That's why some of the largest corporations keep losing money constantly. especially in the tech sector. They just lose money all day, every day. And I guess it's okay because there's so much free money circulating around that they can run on free money for a long time as long as they're sufficiently woke. They just have to virtue signal enough to keep getting more funding as they're losing money, see? And then in governments, governments are you know, supposed to provide some basic functions like, oh, I don't know, defend the borders. Can't even do that. Deliver the mail. Can't even do that. And they shouldn't even be in that business. And, oh, what? Coin the currency. Well, the currency stopped being coin long ago. The U.S. government handed it over to the private Federal Reserve, which has weaponized it on a global scale, now uses it against the people of the world in order to dominate the world and cause immeasurable human suffering, mass death, despair, psychological trauma. This is all rooted in the Federal Reserve, folks. The root of evil is not money itself. It is the printing of money, let's say. That's the root of evil, the printing of, well, currency. Not even money, it's currency. So I'm sitting here pondering all of this and realizing with each passing day that whatever sense of optimism I've had is foolishness. It's naive to think that, well, no, people will come to their senses, you know? Oh, the next election, we'll get through this. Oh, the lunacy can't go on forever. Sooner or later, people will realize that men can't have babies, right? You think these thoughts, you say them, at least I say them to myself. I'm like, this is all a fad. This is a phase. This will pass. It's an era. We'll get back to reason and rationality at some point because the insanity can't last forever. Well, yeah, it can't last forever, but neither can a society based on this insanity. See, now I've come to realize that we lose civilization before people switch back to reality. I think that our civilization dies with the woke cult. The woke cult, in other words, is an extinction-level event for our world, for our civilization. Well, at least among those countries that are stupid enough to embrace it. And granted, that's not every country. So we have to think about the reality that there will be nations and countries that survive the woke cult demise. And guess what countries those are going to be? Take a guess. Shall we say Iran? Yeah, the woke cult is not welcome in Iran. Turkey? Saudi Arabia? Can we say Muslim countries, Islamic regions of the world? And probably, by the way, China, because China is rejecting the woke cult, and come to think of it, so is Russia. You start to put the pieces of this puzzle together, and you realize that the countries that are not committing cultural suicide are the, for the most part, BRICS nations. That's right. The BRICS nations, although Brazil is pretty darn woke right now, but Russia, India, China, and then add in, you know, Turkey, Iran, Lebanon, you know, Syria, a lot of Middle Eastern countries, they're not going total woke, right? So they actually have a chance of surviving this collapse. But the West, forget it. In the West, you have churches going woke. Yeah, churches hosting gay marriage and drag queen story hour for the church kids, really? What's the priest thinking? Got to warm these kids up for the priest raping that will happen later? Yeah, bring in the drag queen. Is it like rape training for the priest? You know, the Catholic priest that reports to the entity in charge of the Vatican? Yeah, I think that's what that is. It's like rape training. Yeah, there's another word for that, folks. Grooming. Grooming, another word you're not supposed to use because it's true. Can't use the word grooming. But at some point, we've all got to ask ourselves, how does a civilization function when the financial system is rooted in complete insanity? And the people running the financial system are far more concerned with being woketards than in being financially competent. Because make no mistake, folks, that's where we are. That is where we are right now. From the UK Daily Mail, here's the headline. Assets of US banks are worth massive $2 trillion less than their accounts report. And 200 banks could be at risk if customers rush to withdraw, leading academics warn. And we'll tell you about these academics here. The shortfall is due to, quote, unrealized losses like those that triggered the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. A run on the banks would leave customers at nearly 200 institutions facing losses of up to $300 billion. Mm-hmm. And the paper says that recent declines in bank asset values significantly increased the fragility of the U.S. banking system. That's right, the fragility. So let's see. This paper is authored by Gregor Matvos of the Northwestern University Kellogg School of Management, Tomasz Piskorski of Columbia Business School, Amit Seru of Stanford University, and Erica Xuewei Jiang of the University of Southern California. And the UK Daily Mail says that this report is alarming because the estimate by the academics is far greater than a recent assessment by the FDIC that said unrealized losses at U.S. banks were around $620 billion. So you see, the FDIC is downplaying the actual exposure. $2 trillion is what the banks lack. In other words, the banking sector is broke right now. It's broke right now. It's broke like Silicon Valley Bank. Now. Remember, there's slightly less than $10 trillion in deposits in U.S. commercial banks. That's what the FDIC insures a portion of. But if these banks are already $2 trillion in the hole, you know, it means they can only provide, let's say, somewhere between $7 and $8 trillion in money back if customers ask for it. And then it's like, oh, we're missing $2 trillion. Well, and then the FDIC, as you know, only had maybe $100 billion, maybe $125 billion. I've got better numbers since I first reported that. It seems like it's between $100 and $125. That's what they had as of Sunday. As of today, most of that appears to be committed to bailing out Silicon Valley Bank and other banks, you know, the two other banks, Signature Bank. We should just call it Wokenature Bank. Totally woke. So they're burning through all the FDIC cash. So the FDIC has nothing left, essentially, nothing left to bail out other banks that are about to fail. And I found out today, this is interesting, I found out from my accounting department that we experienced some pretty sizable loss because we use a service called Bill.com to pay some of our vendors. And when I say vendors, I mean all the different companies and farmer co-ops and so on that sell us raw materials. So we've used Bill.com for a long time. And there was a payment that we made, I don't know, sometime last week, pretty sizable payment to one of our vendors for whey protein material. You know, it was a five-figure payment. Not 100,000, but five figures. And then the vendor tells us, "Oh, we never got that money." We look on bill.com. Well, they took it out of our account, and then they say they sent it. And then we find out, oh, well, somewhere in between, it went to Silicon Valley Bank for some reason. I don't know if that's the vendor's bank or if bill.com is using SVB as an intermediary bank. I don't know. But it went into this giant black hole, and it's gone. It's gone, yeah. So, of course, I was laughing my ass off when I heard that. I'm like, see, even we don't use the woke banks are still destroying money out of our bank accounts. See, that's the power of the destruction of woke. They will destroy everything in sight. It's like a financial nuclear detonation. They'll just wipe out everything. You have to keep your distance. And apparently, we didn't keep enough distance. So we saw a large amount of money just vanish into the woke black hole of Silicon Valley Bank. And as of right now, I have no idea if we're ever going to see this money again, if it comes back, if we get a certificate of receivership. I can't wait for that one. One of the FedEx us a piece of paper from the FDIC, like, we owe you this much money. You can redeem it at $16 a month, you know, whatever. Or you can redeem it in your digital wallet you have to sign up for. You know, look, they stole our money. And we didn't even use that bank. So the ripple effects of this will be widespread. And that was just a tiny taste of things to come. Imagine what happens when we wake up one day and the banking system, the whole system is frozen. It's all a bail-in at that point, and nobody gets anything out because that day is coming. Again, it's going to be a total collapse of the banking system. I have no doubt now that that's coming. And I believe also we're going to have a total collapse of at least Western civilization as we know it. And that means the life that you and I have known will come to an end. The life of relatively affordable food, the life of relatively affordable consumer goods manufactured in China or, you know, Vietnam or Korea or wherever, and available at Walmart, essentially dirt cheap, that's coming to an end. The easy life of a California government pensioner collecting $200,000 a year in retirement money without working anymore, mind you, but of course they would say they earned it. They worked their years, now they're collecting a pension. Okay, I get it. That pension's coming to an end. And so are the pensions of, well, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Washington, Oregon, Colorado. I mean, even Florida has financial problems in that sector. Michigan, you name it. The pensions are going to end, and those are just the government pensions. And then the corporate pensions will end because the banking system will end, the food stamps will end, the currency will end, and then the cities will collapse into chaos Mad Max zones. And I understand this is not easy for everybody to hear. And that's why I mentioned the black pill warning up front. This is not easy to hear. It's not even easy. I was reluctant to arrive at this conclusion. I've held out, I think, for a while, irrational optimism. It's just that now I'm recognizing how irrational it was. There is literally no hope for Western civilization at this point. We're just riding the downfall. We're on board for the plunge. We're observing the total wipeout, the total collapse of Western civilization because of the woke cult lunacy, woke idiots who have run everything into the ground with their, you know, quasi-Marxist wokeism. I mean, think about it. We don't make anything anymore in the West. We can't manufacture munitions to fight a war, right? We don't have any values in the West anymore. Not really. I mean, some sectors do. But by and large, the West has abandoned morality. They've abandoned, you know, any kind of ethics, or honesty, reason, anything. They can't even say 2 + 2 = 4 anymore because that's considered, you know, racist or white supremacist. We live in a society now that values victimhood and imaginary status over real-world competency. Again, the person, the white person who claims to be transgender is suddenly more important to every business, to every government office, to every university than even, let's say, a black man who can do the job better. So thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. Brighteon.com and also naturalnews.com.